If you're running a business right now, you're playing a game where the rules keep changing. Trade tensions, economic uncertainty, culture wars, the world is rapidly changing around us. And companies, especially independent and local businesses, are having to adapt faster than ever. That's why Mission Critical is evolving. We're diving deep with the founders, CEOs, and entrepreneurs who are navigating this chaos in real time. The ones making the tough calls, pushing through unpredictability, and proving that resilience isn't just a buzzword, it's a survival skill. How do you scale in an economy that feels like it's on shaky ground? What happens when US policy shifts send shockwaves through Canadian industries? And in a world where diversity, healthcare, and economic resilience are becoming battlegrounds, how do businesses double down instead of backing down? These are the real conversations that matter to business leaders right now. I'm Lance Chung, and this is Mission Critical. Let's get into it.
Charles, you've been a force in Toronto's cultural and hospitality landscape since the early 80s. If you look back at your very first venture, what did you really believe about yourself then that still holds true today even?
You know, I grew up in Lebanon. I moved here when I was 15. And I had two, three things I enjoyed most in life, and that was fashion, music, dance. And when I turned 22, I was still kind of lost, not sure what to do. And I thought, there are no nightclubs in this city. All the nightclubs back then belonged to hotels. In the early 80s, 90% of that industry belonged to the hotel world. So I found this little, not little, it was 1,500 person venue. On St. Joseph, which was the only place that had a couple of small sort of underground nightclubs. And I thought, what a better place than to launch something and try and put everything I ever dreamt of doing in one spot. And I know the world sometimes looks at nightclubs as not a very legal, not a very great thing. But back then, and for many, many years, that's where fashion became hot. That's where music grew. That's where, you know, interior design and culture grew. So I opened the place, and for 3 months, nobody was there. It was a very sad moment. There was no social media. I had no money to advertise. My life almost came to an end that day, and really, I had an amazing landlord, and he put up with me for a long time, and that stayed in my memory. And today, you know, I feel that, I'm in that position where I'm able to give other people breaks and direction, and it's what gives me the most pleasure. But that's how I ended up. I was trying to put everything that I really enjoyed in life in one room. But the secret for me is that I maintained it as a business, even though I enjoyed it to this day. You know, I really don't drink or do drugs. And I think it's an amazing world out there with booze and drugs. Without it, I wouldn't be in business today. But I was I was able to focus. But that's what got me started. It was 1982, I used to have to drive to New York and Chicago and Detroit and buy music. And I was the first one to bring house music to the city in 1982. And people would run to the booth and ask me, what is it that you guys are playing? You know, so took chances. And really, that has been the biggest part of my career and life, is taking on chances and not being afraid. And 2019, I believe, I won Entrepreneur of the Year with Ernst & Young. And the first event they did, there was about 600 people in the room, different categories. And when the MC came on, first thing he said is, I've never seen so many losers in one room. And the room went silent. And everybody turned around and looked. And he went on to explain that in order to make it in life and get anywhere and be at that point where you're considered for an award, a substantial award, you must have lost had a lot of loss for it. There's no winning without losing. That doesn't exist. I don't know anybody ever that's made it without having. And so, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know, a lot of founders, when they talk about, when they get to that point where they've built up a foundation, have built up an incredible business or an empire, they talk about, you know, a quote-unquote moment that really sparks kind of a change that was a fork in the road for them or a change in their entrepreneurial mindset. Did you have kind of like one of those aha moments, or was it really just kind of a journey and just learning as you went?
Well, I've had many moments. I mean, back then was very, very hard. You know, nightclub 1982. I don't know how many of you were around back then. I was 22 years old. I'm 64 now. I look a lot better because of the spa era. there's many moments. Honestly, there's not a single week, month, year where you don't go through things and your direction might change a bit, or you know, feel a little better about certain things you're doing. The toughest thing for me for many years was being respected as a businessman and not a club owner. Mm-hmm. And about 10 years later, 5-6 years later, I opened a club called Still Life that became the 54 of Canada, period. And I remember walking down Queen Street one day, and the son of the prime minister at the time screams from across the street, waves at me, and I turn around and I'm thinking, is he really talking to me? And then runs across the street, gives me a big hug and a handshake. And honestly, that kept me awake that night, that after struggling, you know, for 10 years, considered, you know, not a real business, drug dealer, you name it, that all of a sudden I was getting that respect. For me, that was a big moment. Because for me, getting respect and recognition is definitely a big driver for myself. It's about being recognized for doing a great job. And it's what I do. It's a big part of the culture at Inc. is, you know, people being recognized as leaders, people being recognized as passionate and driven and making a difference. That to me is very important. So that was a big moment for me.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about respect, I feel like, yeah, so much of it was had to do with like you capturing just not just the zeitgeist of the moment, but also what was coming ahead and coming down the road and being able to have that foresight about what people will gravitate towards. And that still seems to continue today with a lot of your properties, whether that's in the restaurant side or in wellness and the spa side. What do you think is, or what has been your philosophy when it comes to staying ahead of trends or movements and also just general consumer behavior? What's your crystal ball?
I mean, there's never a crystal ball. It's trying to stay ahead of, you know, the curb. It's about not being afraid. It's about be willing to take chances. It's about doing homework. It's about doing research. It's about recognizing needs, and as well as things that people might not really recognize that they need, bringing some new things to the forefront. Very few people know, but I had probably the most, I see some fashion people in the room, I had one, I want to say probably the coolest store ever in Toronto, and it was there for a few years. Unfortunately, the landlord, there was some issues with the lease. It was called Romeo and Juliet. I brought Paul Smith to the city, John Richmond, brands people had never heard of back then. So I was always excited to bring new things to the forefront. And to me, that's a big part of it. I do look at everything out there, and I try and be driven by it. I try to learn from it. I try to be empowered by it, but not copy. I have never copied anything. I'm very proud of that. And I always look at who's doing better than we're doing, and what can I learn from them? You know, in the old days, club owners would run around because they're not doing well, and they'd look oh, I went by Club X and there's nobody there. I go, did you drive up the street, look at Club Y and how the lineup is around the corner? So I've always pushed myself to go and see who's doing great out there, who's pushing the envelope, who can I learn from? Still to this day, you know, I speak about how important it is for me to learn something every day, every week, every month. And you can only do it with an, you know, open mind. I definitely hate being around people that always feel they're, you know, the smartest person in the room. You don't get anywhere there, you know. So that's a big part of it for me, is not to be afraid, you know.
Yeah, and listen and observe and kind of soak in your surroundings and see what's going on as well. You know, across the ecosystem that Inc. has, from restaurants, nightlife, entertainment, design, festivals, what would you say are some of the principles that really just guide your decision-making across building a portfolio that is diverse in the way that Inc. has?
So for me, it's always been about a culture. It's always been about hospitality. And anything that has to do with hospitality intrigues me in a big way. You know, I try and connect because I love fashion to, you know, part of the hospitality and the uniform. When we opened Bisha, and they still do, the girls at the front desk are wearing biker's jacket with gold lining, and it's unheard of that you would go to a hotel and people checking you in are wearing a biker's jacket, you know. So I'm always just driven by creating something new, and the hospitality industry allows me to continue to grow. I mean, I never thought in my life that I would be opening a medical spa, you know. It's easy to open a regular spa where you're getting massages and hot tub and cold tub, but something like this here requires a lot of research, a lot of commitment. I was lucky enough to find the right partner to operate it. But for me, the biggest moment ever was seeing the sign of Bisha, because when I came to Canada, my name was Bisha, it still is. It's what my mother nicknamed me, but when I came here, it was, you know, I came in 76, if your name wasn't John or Peter or Marie, you were like a real outcast, and it was kind of strange. So, you know, to have a hotel and a 44-story tower with 400 residents and hotel rooms and bars and restaurants, for me, seeing the sign up going up, I want to say to this day, it was the biggest moment in my life. And to think that, you know, such a long journey and to get to that level, because in the hospitality industry, the biggest thing is owning a hotel. We most recently sold it for the right reasons. And we're working on a couple now, one of them in Miami, not for sure, another one here. But, you know, there have been some really big moments for us. We had a partnership with Cirque du Soleil for many years in Vegas, where we ran their food and beverage for a few years. And then, unfortunately, it was a different direction. We have a partnership with Live Nation. We had a partnership with the Lowe's, which is one of the biggest brands in the world today, one of the biggest. So for me, partnerships are important. It just sort of makes you feel good that, you know, your partners, you know, we do the mural festival of murals in Yorkville, where we shut the street down for 3 years last year. And for American Express to come and ask us to be a sponsor, the main sponsor next year. And these are, for me personally, the pleasures in life is, as you get older, the only thing that counts are the people you surround yourself with, for me. And, you know, it's very important to get that sort of satisfaction that you're being recognized by the right people. And it's not financially driven, even though from a business sense, we got to make sure we make money. But I've never been financially driven. I still am not. And, Some people hate me for it, but I don't care. I go to bed happier that way.
A lot of full circle moments too. That story about the hotel. Yeah.
The galleries. I mean, I've always said the only thing that would ever bankrupt me is buying art, and I have art now that is, you know, in storage. I've taken some therapy, and I don't buy as much art as possible. Art Basel is one of the biggest events on the planet, and this year we had the second largest booth in Art Basel in Miami. The second largest in all of Art Basel. That's a moment for me when I walk away, and this is the first time I talk about it, and I hope it doesn't come across the wrong way. But these are the pleasures for me, to walk away thinking to myself that, wow, we have, we have one of the biggest galleries in New York. We have a franchise in Paris. We're opening in Miami. We're in Toronto. It's a personal thing. It gives me pleasure. I enjoy it, but hospitality could be anything where you're being hospitable and you're taking care of people, whatever needs they are. So certain things are important to me more than others.
Yeah. And you talk about hospitality and just kind of what that embodies and means to you. I think for a lot of businesses, especially today, building a hospitality brand in 2025, going to 2026, it's just a really interesting landscape out there. I'm sure that a lot of people would love to understand, what do you think it really takes to build a hospitality business today, especially in a post-pandemic world with a lot of shifting consumer expectations and just the overall landscape that we're in right now?
For me, the most important thing is to build a culture, to be honest, to try and deliver an experience. It's no longer so much about the product for me, I think, whatever it is. It's about the trust of the brand. I go in there, and if I trust the brand, I blindly sort of connect. I blindly put my money in there. I think the experience, the quality, the consistency is very, very crucial in building a brand, but you have to have the team. There's only one of me, and between, you know, Canada and the U.S., we're approaching 3,500 employees. So at any given time, any of my staff can, ruin part of that plan, right? They can give bad service, bad food, not be honest, not be direct, not be caring. So my biggest stress with the brand is how many people are representing the brand. So what I work on, and it's the only thing I worked on today all day, is meeting with a lot of the directors that we have and discussing how important the brand is and how important it is for them to deliver that message to the staff, because every single one counts. So the culture, making people understand, treating them respectfully, because when their people are treated properly, they in return treat other people properly. So it's very crucial to build the team. You're not anything without the team, and you need to stick to your guns. And when people try and convince you times are different and you gotta buy less quality and charge same prices, I say no. And the last year and two, I've sort of consistently maintained quality and service, lowering our financial expectations, but not misleading or letting down clients. The minute you lose clients' respect and trust, you're done. That brand is gone. So to me, it's the team and it's the culture and just delivering on your promise. I'll tell you, to me, you say moments. I won't mention name, but I'm sure everybody knows this gentleman, very wealthy, influential gentleman in the country, not just the city. And he called me, this was about a year and a half ago, and he says, it's my wife's anniversary. Tell me, where should I take her for dinner. You know, the Akira, Sophia, you know. He started naming 2-3 places. And when I got off the phone, honestly, it was like the biggest moment for me, because it was like, here's somebody who can go anywhere. And he doesn't care. Akira's Japanese, Amal is Lebanese, Sophia's Italian. And he was like, I don't care. I just want to go to an Ink property. I want to go to a Charles property. And that, to me, was honestly one of the biggest moments, that this person didn't care what type of food he was eating. What he cared about is that he knew that if he came to one of our properties, he would be well taken care of and you know, handled properly. And that, to me, was a big moment.
You know, a lot of businesses that exist in the hospitality industry, too, longevity is, you know, being able to stay, you keep your doors open, but also stay relevant as well, is no easy feat. What have you learned about building brands with longevity?
One of the first things I always say to all the staff is, I don't consider myself a sprinter, I'm a long distance runner. Mm-hmm. And today, I speaking to some of the directors, I compared any business with, you know, playing pool. Because if you want to win a game of pool, it's not about sinking the ball, it's about setting up the ball for the next shot and the next shot. So when we plan things, we always try and think about, okay, what's the next move, or if this doesn't work, or how do we make this last? And that's part of the longevity strategy. But another part is definitely always staying up to date, reinvesting money in physical space, in staff training, which is crucial, and trying to figure out what the new thing is that you can deliver that people would enjoy, people that would appreciate. So there's so many different parts to it, but it's for me, it's, I always compare it to a bicycle chain, whereas if you lose one link, that bicycle stops. One link out of, I don't know how many, there's 100, one link and the whole thing stops. And for me, I try and explain that to everyone, that at any given part, that will affect, you know, the consistency and the respect, and that also slows down your odds of, you know, longevity. So the toughest thing in life is to maintain status quo. And the second toughest thing is to think about the next move and where I'm going. But I do find status quo is the toughest thing. Whatever you get to in life is really the toughest thing to maintain. If you don't have it, you don't think of it, you don't miss it. But when you get to a certain point, and you drop 1%, it's a big letdown. So we always have to hang on, and I explain to staff that it's really important to maintain that status quo and look for the future.
Yeah, and the consistency. Is there a place that you like to go or look to when it comes to finding inspiration for when you are looking or thinking about exploring new concepts or new businesses? And conversely, are there, you know, what is kind of an indicator that tells you, oh, this is not the vibe, I'm not gonna explore this as well?
You know, it depends on the project I'm working on. I try and visit different cities, and I've never built one project without taking a trip, because it's definitely inspiring. It's, you know, it's definitely a driver to bring out, you know, certain feelings and appreciation to other things happening all over the world. And I always, you know, encourage everybody to travel and see. You know, it's easier now with, you know, with social media and with the internet, you could see quite a bit, but it's different. I've often stayed in one city 3 days and went to stay in 3 different hotels. It's really crazy that you would pack your bag in the morning, because going to see something is different than experiencing the full package, getting in the room, seeing how they check you in, the type of bed, the bathroom, the lighting, and so on and so forth. I promise you, I have stayed in, most recently, a couple of years ago, I was away 10 days, stayed in 7 different hotels in the same city. I just had to try them. So, I know. Different cities. I took my designers when I was building Acrobat at Bay and Bloor. That was 27, 28, 30 years ago maybe, to California, more specifically Beverly Hills. When we built Societe, the French restaurant on Bloor, I took Alessandro Munch, who was the designer at the time, to Paris, and we spent a week in Paris. We ate, we drank, we checked in 2 different hotels, and we wanted to experience the city. It's tough to build something really that looks and feels and smells and tastes authentic by just not really have experienced some part of it. Jabo Puschelberg, who have quickly become one of the top designers on the planet today, mm-hmm. I started my career really in the same year they did. But they were still getting, you know, a lot of attention. They were the hottest designers at the time. I went into their office and I said, on one condition, we go to New York one night and Montreal one night, because Montreal back then was the hub of entertainment in Canada. And I convinced them, and they went with me to Montreal and New York before we opened Still Life. So different cities, different projects. I would have loved to have gone to Korea with Erica, but my time is cut short these days. So, because all the equipment here is from Korea,
yeah.
So I would have loved to have done that. But I'll take her word on that one.
If you're checking into 7 hotels in 10 days, what's like the first thing that you're noticing when you check in that is like an indicator of a good experience or a good product?
You know, it just starts at the door, you know, a smile, a welcome, how are you? and again, today I stress on how important it is not to teach staff how to repeat the same things. And, you know, you often get in a restaurant, how are your first couple of bites? I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to throw up. Don't ask me what looks like a textbook So for me, the big welcome, the build, how are you? I hope, you know, it didn't take a while to get here. You know, it's just being caring, being sincere is really important for me. Sincerity and honesty is really top on my list. So just the welcome, the smile, the attention, the details, more about the people. It's the people, honestly, our business is about people. Give me a bad pasta, but amazing welcome and service. I'll forget about the pasta, you know. Nobody needs another steak, nobody needs another pasta, nobody needs another anything anymore. We've all had and been, you know, everywhere. So we like to go where we feel welcome and warm and somebody sincere and not trying to oversell you and not, never going to happen. You know, that's not what hospitality is, really. Every meeting I have, every time we open a new venue, I speak to the staff and I say, today is the first day you're working with us. I hardly ever say working for us. People work with us. People work with me. I say, today is your first day working with us. I hope the day you leave as a friend and not as an employee. Because over time, you know, you see these people over and over again, you're sincere, you're good with them, they do a great job, they become friends. And that to me is really crucial. I find that most of our staff have become friends and family, and you gotta encourage that. You feel it when you walk in, you know? And you feel it. It has to feel like a happy home. And it comes from the staff. When they're happy and they feel good,
Yeah. Well, when I think about some of my favorite places that I go to in the city, it is because of the people when I think about it, not always just because of the food. You know, you mentioned a trip to Korea, you know, a wish to go on a trip to Korea. your newest venture, we're here, 30 Hazleton, moves the company into the med spa and wellness space. Why was that an appropriate next move for the company overall?
Well, I mean, to start with, health and wellness has become, a big force and a big focal point. I was in Vegas a few weeks ago. We have new projects in Vegas now. We're doing 3 projects in Vegas. so I was there, and even in Vegas, it used to be about promoting 100% the pools, the clubs, the DJs, and you find there's a big shift now. A lot of hotels and casinos are starting to promote health and wellness and, more outdoor activities. So it's a big global move, and, for us to create new venues for the company to grow, not just grow financially, but grow by way of attracting clients that trust us and believe in us. This was the toughest, because to all of a sudden, Charles from Club Z and king of the biggest, no, I'm not going to say it, considered a club guy. Now I'm going to trust him. I'm going to go lay down, have his staff work on my face and recommend what to do. I mean, what has this world come to? I think we've earned it over the years. I found a great partner in Erica, who's, I interviewed her 3 times as if she's applying for a job. but she's my partner and she does a great job. And I wanted to know if it was somebody that was, has the same direction, mindset, and I found the perfect person in Erica for this. So I'm happy to get into anything that has to do with hospitality. And don't ever think hospitality is about eating and drinking and dancing. Anything where you're welcoming people, for me, is hospitality. Anything where you are creating an environment for people to come and spend some time buying, drinking, eating, chatting, whatever it might be, sadly, for some of my partners, it's never been about money for me. I absolutely love and adore what I do. I will never stop. And as tough as Toronto will get, I will never leave the city. It's, I found an amazing home in Toronto and great people and I absolutely love the city and will never leave. I might do other things and expand elsewhere, but believe me, I'm sure everybody in this room has traveled and we always think, oh, this city, that city. But when you put the whole thing together, I still think we're in a great spot and we should all be happy to be here.
Yeah, I agree. 30 Hazleton, really houses a lot of exclusive treatments as well that have been specifically brought in from places like South Korea. What have you learned about skincare and wellness from Erica's research and journeys that you didn't know before, or has your interest grown in the area that you may not have realized before?
No, I look, definitely my interest grew in a big way, even though I don't have a lot of patience to lay down and be zen, but this is a building, a small house that we turn into a zen space with really some professional people that do care about what they do. And I'm always driven by the people around me. And with Erica, I was able to find some amazing people to be part of the team. I'm learning every day. I was here Saturday getting a little course and buying a few products. I say Brian because, I've always ran my business as a business. And, I think it's very important that we think of it as such. So I got some new products I'm going to start trying soon. I got to find a morning where I'm not running. It's definitely a lot to learn. It's very complex. And I always encourage people, if you don't know what you're talking about, don't bullshit people. I'm not sure I'll go find out and come back to you. I hate when people give you lines, so I'm not going to give you any bullshit lines.
Yeah.
Come, I'll do your facial next week. But definitely, we work hard on making sure we have all the right products, all the right equipment, and deliver a great experience.
Yeah. As we just kind of round out our chat here, is there a category or another space that you've always been curious about that you haven't had the chance to explore yet that you would like to?
And no, I've been lucky enough and crazy enough, smart enough, stupid enough, I don't know what to call it. But I think everything I've wanted to sort of accomplish or try in the hospitality industry, I have. One of my biggest love in the hospitality industry is fashion, and I did it for many years, many, many years. I had another store as well. I used to own a Hugo Red Label store. Again, the landlord demolished the building, Cumberland. Music, fashion, interior design, architectural. So I think now, finally, the spa. I think I've covered most of it. I'm sure I'll think of something new very soon. But I think I've covered most of it. For me, I just try and continue to improve and expand with the right people and the right concepts. I think it's important to stay true to what you believe in, regardless of cost. I've been fortunate enough that I was able to do that and make sure we deliver what we promise and continue to grow the brand. And another aha moment for me was when a couple of people stopped me and said, you own Inc. Entertainment, we go here and there. It was always about Charles, and people would call me, where are you going to be tonight? I want to go there. And how do you grow? So for me, having Inc. Entertainment recognized as a brand, at least in this city, and now we're getting a lot of recognition in Miami with multiple locations, and we have a big partnership we'll bring forward in the new year. To me, it's really important that the brand and John Torre used to always say to me, thank you so much for employing 3,000 people, in the city. And we became friends. So it gives me a lot of pleasure to have a lot of people grow with us. And I always encourage people to grow and go out on their own, even if they're working for me. If they have that flame and that drive, I've helped many people open restaurants and bars and clubs. And I'm the first one to go out and, there's nothing more, that makes me driven and happy than seeing other people grow as well. Mm-hmm. And you become friends and you become, you have relationships with people that matter. I'm always happy to help and be part of it.
Well, with that in mind, thank you so much for all your incredible stories and your insight. I learned a lot of myself from your story, so thank you for your time and a big round of applause for Charles.
Thank you.
That's a wrap on this episode of Mission Critical. If today's conversation gave you something to think about, do me a favor. Subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Big ideas are meant to be shared, and the best insights only matter if they're put into action. Until next time, stay sharp, stay curious, and go and make something happen. I'm Lance Chung, and this is Mission Critical.